Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. Let's start this off with a quiz. Everyone likes quizzes, right? I'm going to read four quotes to you and play along if you can. Raise your hand if you recognize the quotes. Feel free to complete them. And I'm going to ask you what they have in common. So the first quote is, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Very good, Neil Armstrong. Next one's a little trickier. "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many." I got one out there with so few. Churchill, good job. "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you." There you go, John F. Kennedy. And you're going to love this last one. "If the glove does not fit, you must acquit." Johnny Cochran. Now, what do those four quotes have in common? Any idea? They're catchy. That's true. You remember them, right? I mean, I would say here the majority of people, you may not have gotten the words, but you remember those quotes. You remember the essence of them. You could tell me context about them. You could tell me a lot of things. But what I'm looking for here, the structural bit, is what's called antithetical parallelism. Which, okay, big nasty word, right? I'll break it down. What's really happening in these quotes, if you look at them, is you're presented with one idea, the first half of the quote, and in the second half of the quote, you're presented with a contrasting idea. It doesn't necessarily have to be opposite, but it shows you, it gives you a relationship. Think of it like an analogy, right? And they're opposites, more or less. Go back to it. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Right, you can see how you can contrast the two. In the field of human conflict, so much was owed by so many to so few. Right, you've got this big contrast between them. It's called antithetical parallelism. Now, it turns out this is actually a fairly common thing that's used in the book of Proverbs. Right, we see it scripturally. So turn over to Proverbs 19, verse 16, and I will show you an example of it there. Like I said, you can read the Bible. You don't have to know that this is a thing, but we're going to talk about why this is a thing and why it's a good thing. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16. "Whoever keeps commandments keeps their life, but whoever shows contempt for their ways will die." See that? It's the same model. If you keep the commandments, you'll have life. But if you don't, if you have contempt for the commandments, they're not important, you will die. So the book, in that one verse, the Jewish poetry is using antithetical parallelism. But look at the next verse. It doesn't use this. "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done." That's not antithetical parallelism, is it? It's like God says, if you're kind to the poor, you've given me something, I owe you something, and I'll reward you. Pretty straightforward. Now, why does this matter? Why do I mention it today? Well, it turns out psychologically that antithetical parallelism is a really sticky concept. Our brains love that kind of puzzle, and it makes things that are put in that format very easy to remember. Like I said, Neil Armstrong, that was from what, 1969? Everybody remembers that quote. You look at Winston Churchill, that was from right after World War II, so that's, math is off, what, 80 years ago? I wager most of the people in this room probably weren't alive when he said it, and they certainly weren't present when he said it, right? John F. Kennedy was late 60s. Johnny Cochran actually was 1994, and yet we still know it. How many people can quote another compelling defense argument from some major criminal justice trial? Probably none, right? It doesn't happen. But with the power of antithetical parallelism, you can really stick ideas and concepts in your head. So why does it matter today? I want to give you a simple way to use this powerful tool to remember things from the Bible that we're supposed to. So this is the interesting bit. Oftentimes we work and focus on memory scriptures, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if all we do is remember the scripture and just store it in our head and say, 1 John 3 says such and such, how far have we really gotten? It'll fade away after a while, right, if we don't constantly refresh it. But I'll go back to the story of Johnny Cochran. How many times have you repeated, if the glove does not fit, you must acquit, in your life since 1994? Probably once, maybe twice right after the trial. It's not something, Tori's got zero. But yet, we know it. You don't have to constantly repeat it when you're using this structure. It really, really sticks. And if you think about it, God's not calling us to be people that simply memorize Bible verses. He's calling us to be people that have gotten the verse, understand the concept, and we internalized it so much we actually live it. So turn over to Deuteronomy 6, and we'll see that. I want us to read Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7 with antithetical parallelism in mind. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. So this is after God's given the commandments and he's explaining to the Israelites, what are they supposed to do with it? Are they simply supposed to memorize these 10 things and be done with it? Obviously not. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. He's being metaphorical and artistic, but what he's really saying is, don't just memorize these verses and stick them away. I want them so embedded in who you are that, how many years has it been since 1994? 24 years, is that right? 24 years later, it just pops back in your head like that. It is ingrained in who you are. And by using this principle of antithetical parallelism, we can take scriptures that wouldn't necessarily stick in our heads that way and get them to stick. So, going back, did this go out? No? Sounded like it went out. The sound changed on it. Not a problem. Taking this principle, we can... Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I'll just keep talking. No worries. Taking this principle, we can take a scripture that doesn't necessarily stick like that, and we can get it to stick. So I actually like, let's go back to Proverbs 19:17. Proverbs 19:16 is the, whoever keeps the commandments, keeps his life, but whoever shows contempt for them will die. You've got an antithetical parallelism. But I find the next scripture, the one we just read, actually more amazing. If you stop and think about what it says, the person that shows kindness to the poor is lending to God. Flip that around. That implies there's a debt owed between God and us. Where else in our relationship do we ever see God indebted to us? Right? That's a powerful statement. But standing on its own, we may not stick that. And in fact, if I probably started it off, most people, I don't know if it's a common memory verse, would remember it. So what I recommend we do is we take Proverbs 19:17, and then we go and we turn to Proverbs 14:31 and see what we find there. Proverbs. So hold your finger on Proverbs 19:17, and then go over to Proverbs 14:31. No, I did that one wrong. Proverbs 14:31, and see what it says. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. What we've got here is a second scripture that gives us the other half, if you will, the other half of the sticky. So you take Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity upon the poor lends to God, and you combine it with Proverbs 14:31, but whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. What have you got? You've got a biblically sound, sticky concept that you can hold on to. If I give to the poor, God owes me a debt. But if I oppress the poor, I'm showing contempt for God, right? He didn't put those two verses together, but then Christianity is not about a simple pill that you take and it's done. We have to do a little bit of work. But if you go through the Bible and you find a scripture that you really want to stick, that you really want it to stay in there, you then go and search for it, and you find the antithetical verse that fits it, and you put those two together, and it's a lot easier to remember, right? Now, I'll be honest. I am horrible at memory verses. I couldn't tell you 5 minutes from now that it's Proverbs 19 or it's Proverbs 14, but I can remember if you give to the poor, God has said you've loaned to him. But if I have contempt for the poor, then I have insulted God, right? Those two pieces I can remember. That's an easy way to stick. So using psychology, or as younger people would say, using a brain hack like this, we can take concepts that we may be struggling with, we can go and find the antithetical statement in the Bible that gives us that contrast, and the result will be a much easier way to remember it. Like I said, there was no effort to remember one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, right? You can take that, you can expand on it, you can talk about why Neil Armstrong said it, you can bring back a whole basket of memories and ideas and concepts that you can share. God wants us to do far more than just spit back verses when we're in a situation. He wants us to understand the context of it, the nuances of it. He wants us to understand the range from giving to the poor to oppressing the poor and everything in between. And by setting those two antithetical boundaries, we can much better understand the scriptures, and as a side benefit, we can much better remember them.